Dude, are you gonna go to the bathroom now?
Okay.
Well, let's see. What is it? The toilet bowl's this afternoon, isn't it? You'd rather turn on a motorcycle race. Keep turning left. Oh, yours goes around this way. Did you know how the NASCAR supposedly originated? It's from the hillbillies down in Kentucky running from the cops, selling bootleg liquor. That's how the NASCAR, I saw a documentary, that's how the NASCAR got started. What's that? Oh, Junior Johnson. Billy Bob, his brother, and Sally Sue, his sister.
Yeah, that's something.
Okay, chapter 3, Esther. What sort of kind of livens the Bible up is to see pictures of Jesus. If you want to walk with Jesus, see pictures of him throughout the Old Testament. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. And I do ask that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Airline pilots would tell you that their occupation is 95% boredom, maybe 98%. You don't want that 2%, that's for sure. So Esther chapter 3, in the storyline, it's a doctrinal picture of the rapture where a Gentile queen is pulled out and a Jewish queen is restored, or as a queen, portraying the rapture of the church, mostly Gentiles, placing in the Jewish going back to Israel because God has unfinished business with Israel, and some Gentiles that think they're going into the trib. So if they want to skip it, that's okay, I guess. So I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised. And then Job pictures the Jews being persecuted directly by Satan. And so Mordecai appears to be a picture of the Lord, or the Jews of the tribulation being persecuted by Haman. Haman is clearly one of the many types of Antichrist in the Bible. So, chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman? So the man had abilities to hide his true intent. So he was somebody who played in the favors to get something out of them. So he was promoted, Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Okay, there, right there, the Agagite, if you run to cross-references back to Genesis 36, you see who they are. And then if you go to Exodus 17, that's who the Jews were told, Agag, that's who the Jews were told to destroy. They didn't do it, came back to haunt them. And that's the one king, remember in 1 Kings 15, where God told Saul, I want you to go kill all of them. And then he kept Agag, that king. And then Samuel came along, and that's when Saul was rejected to be king. And so, in our lives, as Israel portrays the individual, if there's something that we don't get totally out, it's going to come back and haunt us. It's just going to keep coming back and haunting us. And so, this is the Agagite. So, that is something coming back to haunt the Jews. So if Saul would have obeyed in 1 Samuel 15, obviously there would have been somebody else to replace this Haman guy. But at least it wouldn't have been him. So this king Ahasuerus advanced him, so put him up second in the kingdom, and set his seat above all princes that were with him. So this guy, no doubt, was a compromiser in many ways. The higher up they go, like Daniel said, he puts the basest of men. They say that compromise is the lifeblood of politics. I remember seeing a video clip of Joe Biden when he was a senator, I think he was. And he was just coming right out saying, he said, I'm trying to prostitute myself to you. He sold his soul years ago. And so, yeah, and the thing is they're not bashful about it. That's the thing about the news media. I call them cockroaches. At least a cockroach will hide when you turn the light on. They don't bat an eye when they're caught in the middle of this stuff. That is a seared conscience. Okay, so verse 2, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate. Okay, in the king's gate is a thought or an idea in the Bible. That's where the business and the political affairs, judicial affairs take place. In our culture, it would be the courthouses. That's where the public documents, or you can put a notice on the bulletin board at the post office, and that becomes public notice to the community. You could do it on a bulletin board at the courthouse, or you could do it 3 weeks in a row on the legal aspects of the daily of the newspaper. But who reads newspapers nowadays? Are they even in existence anymore? I can remember reading Brooks' newspaper. You know, Aunt Sally visited Bobby Joe to see them have a meal at this night. I mean, all that stuff, they would put that in a newspaper. Okay, and so the king's servants were in the king's gate. Remember, Lot was in the gate when the angel showed up, so he's a judicial official. Remember that Daniel sat in the gate with Nebuchadnezzar, so during the fiery furnace event, Daniel was evidently sitting on the platform, but he couldn't do anything about it. And it said the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. Okay, and this guy reveled in that. He enjoyed that. Okay, in our culture, the purpose for standing for a judge when he walks into a courtroom is because they used to carry Bibles in and people stood in respect to the Bible. Technically, like in Rensselaer, the court rules state that lawyers are required to stand when the judge comes in. But if you just want to do an experiment, just remain seated and watch how hypersensitive these people get. Ooh, they get fired up. Just because you didn't stand for them when they walked in a room. I mean, that's ego problems. That's a social misfit. Who would throw a fit like that? Well, two judges down in Rensselaer did. I mean, you would tend to think, man, why don't you grow up? The world doesn't revolve around you, but they think it does. So this reverence, now you can respect somebody, and I dare say respect is something that is earned, not necessary, but I do believe younger generations should respect the older, okay? And so there is a reverence we give at times, and this is, for the king had so commanded concerning him, but so the king commanded concerning reverence to this man, so if they didn't reverence him, that's a bully. That's how government works. It's a bully environment. This is what Trudeau's doing up in Canada. He's just a bully. You know, and every governing structure, if you don't do this, we're going to fine you here. And that's a bully. That's what bullies do. So then he said, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Mordecai hadn't read it in Romans 13. In the mindset of the fundamentalist. Okay, he bowed not, nor did him reverence. Okay, if a guy doesn't stand, I wouldn't care. Okay, so verse 3, then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? You know, this is what a lot of people, well, it's the law. How do you know it's the law? Did you read it? Are you an attorney? Are you a judge? Well, why are you transgressing the king's commandment? And he says, now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him. So Mordecai had some powerful influence, of course, because Esther's now the queen, and I'm sure they knew a connection there. Okay, and so they know what's going on there. It just as inner talking amongst public officials go, you know, where, you know, a perfect example is Mike Pence, where he played the Christian card And I'd heard pretty strong rumors when he was governing Indiana. He and his missus, or if she is a missus, was running a pedophile ring out of Fort Wayne area. And that became pretty known amongst those people. And then who was it? The attorney. And early on, I'm not thinking Lindsey Graham. No, not that dude. The one attorney down in Georgia. He just came right out and said it, that Pence is a pedophile. Linwood. That's that it? Linwood. Yeah, Linwood. And he knew this from court documents, or not court documents, from testimonies that people gave. Okay, so this Mordecai, I'm sure they knew that he was related to Esther. And so these servants, verse 4, now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand. Okay, now they're bringing, now Haman probably didn't see this guy not standing or giving him reverence. Now the servants are making a big deal of it. And so now Haman's going to be looking out for this guy to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Okay, so that term is now, the plurality of that term is first found in Kings, and this, I think, is the second time it's found. So Mordecai is a Jew. That means he's a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now Haman's going to watch for this. Now what kind of a personality trait looks for somebody not standing for me? I mean, they got a real psycho problem. So in verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Why wasn't he pleased that everybody else bowed? Why do you want one guy? It's about like if you get one kernel of corn in your shoe, you're going to feel it. But if you get about 100 in your shoe, all the kernels are evenly distributed, so you can kind of keep going. But what kind of a guy gets mad because, and now he wants to murder a bunch of people? I mean, these people are psycho. And these people tend to gravitate towards this position. They're control freaks. And it said, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. He wanted to kill the man on the spot. But these guys are slick enough that they don't want to dirty their own hands or bloody their own hands. They get somebody else to do the job. And it's usually somebody distance. And then they won't come right out and say what they want done. They'll just say, you know, eliminate. What do you mean eliminate? Murder? Let's talk plain here. Oh, no, we can't do that on emails and get away with it. So he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. What kind of a guy does that? And would a guy like this, if he gets this accomplished, would he lose sleep at night? Probably not, but I'll bet you he'll be haunted. I think a lot of times behind the scenes, we don't see these dreams that people have where these spirits will come back and make their life miserable. Stalin was a character that had like 8 different bedrooms, and he would change the bedroom he'd sleep because the guy was very nervous. And if he looked out the window, he saw 2 people talking. He assumed they were talking about him. And those people are miserable people, but yet they're just nuts for power. They just gravitate towards power, not recognizing, like, it's like a parasite, you know, on a dog. Does that parasite or that leech or that flea or tick, do they ever have a meeting amongst all the ticks on the back of a dog? You know, if we suck too much blood, he's going to be gone and we're done. They don't do that. They just keep pulling the blood out. And these parasites like Trudeau and all these guys, it doesn't dawn on them if, like, Biden does get his way and China does conquer America or come over, what are they going to do with Biden? Well, they're going to axe him just like anybody. So these, when you're dealing with spirits, there's no logic to it. So you, it's like a narcissist or a psychopath. You know, you're dealing logically with these people, but there's no logic to spirits. Okay, so Haman wants now to destroy all Jews, not knowing that the queen is a Jew. And so then here's what these politicians do, is they cast lots or they consult spirits, okay, in order, because the God of this world is the one that influences political offices. And so that's what they're going to do in verse 7. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. So they're going to consult the stars. What should we do? And actually what they're doing is spirits are influencing this. And Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad. Now notice how vague he is. And of course they have to be vague, and that shows that they're obviously being deceptive. There's a certain people scattered abroad. Well, no, one's in the castle. And dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. So this is a worldwide, possibly worldwide kingdom. I do believe that this may be a forerunner of what we know as Tartaria or Tartary, where we get the word tartar sauce from, Tartar. It's like an Asian kingdom, okay, where ancient maps will have this on there. And this kingdom, it did come around the world. This explains the Greco-Roman architecture on many stone structures around the world. So I would say that this is part of it, because this can be traced back even to Shem, where you have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem appears to be the one who founded this city down in Saudi Arabia Yemen. I forget the name of the city. And it has the same architecture. So this is also a part of this, and it is dispersed around. And so he's trying to vilify this certain people because he's wanting to get rid of all of them. And it says, and their laws are diverse from all people. Their laws referring to the Mosaic law. Neither keep they the king's laws. Now that's a lie. It's a bald-faced lie. You always got to mix some lie, a lie, put lie inside of a true statement for deception. Neither keep they the king's laws. Okay, one guy didn't give you reverence, pal. One guy. And then he says, therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. Suffer, put up with. King's prophet, the love of money is the root of all evil. So we see what's gonna get this king to allow him to write a law with the king's seal on it, and the king's not even reading it. So it says, then he said, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business. Okay, well, how are you going to do that, pal? Where are you getting that money? He's going to steal it from the people he kills. They're going to loot the houses and then turn around and put that in the king's. So that's blood money. It's blood money. And it says, and bring in the king's treasuries. Okay, so from the fleshly aspect, the monetary aspect tempts them. From the spiritual aspect, the monetary aspect is a tool to enslave people. They want control more than the money. So from the human aspect, they tempt him with the love of money. From the satanic aspect, the temptation is control. They don't care about the money. It's just the idea is controlling people. Keep people poor, beat down. I've got them under my thumb. And so, well, he hoodwinked the king. Verse 10, and the king took his ring from his hand and gave it into Haman, the son of Hamed Atha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy, type of the Antichrist. Okay, and of course, when we read that, and we logically think about that, this is evidence for the Bible, the Jews. That's evidence to prove the Bible is true. Verse 11, the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seem good to thee. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. Okay, that's interesting how that number lands on this. 13th day. 13th day, 6 months in a row, is when the Pope had, you know, or those kids had a vision of on Fatima. On May 13th is when the Pope was, there's an attempted assassination of him, and he credited Mary for saving his life. So 13 is obviously, in the Bible and in life, has a negative connotation. The Bible provides the standard for that. And when you see these standards, then it just gives more verification to the Word of God itself. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. So you had multiple languages scattered throughout these kingdoms. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. That seal is when they take wax and they push the seal in. Okay, and that gives credence to the king. Now, verse 13, here's an archaic, you know, that people say the King James is archaic, out of date, blah, blah, blah. So here's an example. And the letters were sent by post. See how archaic the King James is? We go to the post office to send letters. All the new Bibles change that. And do you know the difference between a post office and a postal service? There is a difference. The Postal Service is a corporation. The Post Office is an institution under the Constitution. Two separate things. I got a Supreme Court case that verified that. Two separate things. The Postal Service is operating inside the Post Office, but the charge is the Postal Service. And so the post, the idea of post is this is a King James turned, the New Bibles, I think they use the word courier or something like that. So you have post office, postage, postal carrier, or a male female, male carrier, male man, male female, male, whatever they identify with. So this is a King James only idea. None of the Bibles do that. The letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, so this is very, very large kingdom, to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews. Now, did this king ever read this? In our country, a law is supposed to be read three times. Did they read the Patriot Act before they did it? Or like Pelosi said, we need to get the law voted in, and then we'll find out what's in it. And they're supposed to have, before each time in Indiana, be it enacted. That has to be the first three words, be it enacted, or else it's not a law. And so that's one of the ways to try to get out of a ticket. Because it doesn't say be it enacted. It's a violation of the Constitution. But who wants to fight that? Okay, and so this is our custom versus theirs. So the guy never even read it. But notice in the law, he specified he didn't tell the king the people, generalized it. In the law, he puts it to details. All Jews. And of course, the Lord kept it hid from him that the queen is a Jew. And of course, the Lord is going to use this as a rescue. So he said that, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children. What kind of a guy does this? Little children and women. In one day, how do you get soldiers to do that? Soldiers should rebel against that. Soldiers justify their conscience by saying that order's an order. That isn't going to work at the White Throne. Well, if I didn't do it, they'd kill me. You'd be better off to face death yourself than to be murdering somebody else. So little children, women, can you imagine the bloodshed that was going to take place that day? Can you imagine the bloodshed the day Herod said, kill all children 2 years and under? How many moms died that day trying to save their child? And there's a passage in Jeremiah that prophesied this, but then he makes a statement in there, and I think we could take this to be something to analyze that. Those children that died, who died before that, are guaranteed a special place in the millennial time period. They are blessed abundantly for that time, because it says they'll rise again. And the Jeremiah 31 is a place to give a little authority to that idea. So that's, you know, that child suffered here, but the suffering there, here, the glory is far greater than the suffering here. So that Jeremiah 31, I think, is something that's very, it's God's fairness to those children. Little children, women, one day. Can you imagine? Man, I can't imagine that. Even on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So that's how Haman was able to pay the king. So the king got blood money. 14, the copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. So this was publicized in every area, that they should be ready against that day. Now people are doing the killing. It's like, how many Germans knew about the Holocaust? Some did, some didn't. How many Americans knew about it? Americans knew. The public officials definitely knew what was going on. So verse 15, the post went out. So this would be like our Pony Express, but the post went out. So the letters went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in the Shushan palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink. Didn't lose sleep at all? Wasn't bothered by it? I mean, in fact, they probably get energy from it, because that's what spirits do. I mean, you would think, man, that would haunt them. And the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. And in Proverbs it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And boy, can you imagine the mourning? Okay, and so, yeah, that's something. Okay, hey, we'll stop there. Did Adam have a birthday party tonight or something?